saying, huh? If going by what I've got thus far, but I know the Lord can give us more. But nevertheless, we want to do what the Lord wants us to do in this service. And we want His purpose to be done. We're going to take a reading lesson tonight from the book of Songs of Solomon. And we're going to read to you a reading lesson tonight as to what I believe is Solomon's testimony. A lot of people read this. Some says it's not his testimony, that it had something else to be entirely different as far as a meaning. But the way I read this, it sounds just like a testimony of a man getting saved. And I'm thankful that it's there. I like the way that Solomon puts this testimony. I like to hear you tell your testimonies from time to time. It's something that we need to tell more often.
Amen.
There are people out there that have never told what the Lord has done for them. There's people out there that may have told that they have been saved, but that's about all they've done. Now you think about the glory that the Lord would have gotten if they'd done more than that.
Amen.
And they might have said, well, I haven't been led to. Well, get you a fishing weight and tell somebody, is the way I'll say it. Just tell somebody about what the Lord did for you. You know those fishing weights are lead, right? See, the idea is you don't have to be led of the Lord to tell somebody about being saved. You just need to tell people about it. And that's what we need to do more and more. And I think Solomon gives us a good example here of this tonight. Bear with us tonight. The third chapter of Songs of Solomon. And we'll start with the first verse. And it says, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chambers of her that conceived me. That's reading the first four verses of the third chapter of the book of Songs of Solomon there tonight for our reading lesson. Now, like I said, there's people that don't agree with me as far as this being his testimony, and that's fine. But I do want to try to bring out a couple of things tonight as we look at this message. First of all, we live in a day and age, and let me back up and say it this a little bit different first. In my day, and I've heard a lot of people say that were older than I was, that when they come to the age of accountability, when they finally gave in to saying that they were lost, they went to the altar to seek the Lord. Now, let me ask a question before I go any further. How many of you got saved the very first time you went to the Lord? Show of hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, 6 of you. Bless your hearts. I'm glad of that. How many of you got saved the second time you went to the altar? There's 1, 2. Okay. Let me move this up. How many of you took more than 5 times? And some, yes. Any more than 10? Any more than 20? How about 40? It took me over 3 years. 5 years. Anybody more? Yeah, I remember. 10, right? 9? All right. See, the thing I'm talking about today, Today we live in a day and age when a lot of, especially young people today, they realize they're lost. They go to the altar or go somewhere and seek the Lord. And if they do not get it, well, I just can't get saved. Seems like that's what some of them says. I know of a young lady now, she said, it just didn't do any good. I'm not going back to the altar ever again. I pray the Lord strikes her down very heavily with conviction to where that she will have to seek the Lord. But today the devil has really worked on a lot of people today to say, well, I sought him, but I didn't find him, and it just doesn't work for me. I want you to know something today. It doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter if you don't think it works for you. It's sure not going to work for you if you don't try to find him. I've said this many times over the years. God is a God that can save anybody. Amen. But he's not just he is good. Don't get me wrong. Out of the goodness of his heart, walk up to you, slap you on the back and say, hey, I like your looks. I'm going to save your soul right now. That's not the way that he works. He saves individuals that seek him.
Amen.
Now, if you look at this testimony that Solomon gives right here in this reading lesson tonight, you'll see that he sought the Lord first on his bed, but I found him not. Then he went out into the streets, and he had an intention to going out into the street, not only in the street, but out into the broadways, even around different places. He had in mind that he was going to go somewhere and find him whom his soul loveth. And you might say, well, that's saying it because he'd already found him. He was already in love with his Savior. No, I think that is the way he's telling his testimony after the fact of his salvation. That's why he said, him whom my soul loveth. But he says, as he was going about the city looking for salvation, he said there were some people that found him. The watchman, as it was called. Brothers and sisters, tonight we are the watchmen that God has put into this world tonight. And we are the ones that are going to be telling people about the Lord. Now, it doesn't tell us what these watchmen said unto him, but he's asked them a question. Have you seen him whom my soul loveth? Back several years ago, I was pastoring a church, and the Lord laid on my heart a message that basically was out of the book of Peter, where it said that be ready always to give a reason of the hope that is within you. And I talked about the testimonies that we are to give to individuals. And what are you going to say if somebody comes up to you? What's the reason you believe you're going to heaven? What are you going to tell them? That was my question that day. What are you going to tell them? And we talked about the testimonies of that place. So these watchmen were in that place at that time. They found this young man at that time, and they said, what are you doing out here? And he said, have you seen him whom my soul loveth? Can you tell me about the Lord tonight? Is what he was trying to say unto them that day. So now we are seeing a man that is continually searching for the Lord. I tell you what, today, it's important that we as God's people let these lost ones know and realize that they need to be looking for the Lord. They need to be searching for him. They need to be seeking after him. I believe it's in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts where that Paul said unto the Athenian people that ye might seek after him and feel after him. Was his very words, that you might feel after him, that you might find him.
Amen.
It's important today that you seek after the Lord. Now, what about if you do not find him? We see here that Solomon was a man that, far as what we can see on this particular night, he had went at least three different places where he said, I've looked for him, but I found him not. He was one that was determined to find the Lord, is what he was doing. Now, let's see in the Bible if there's others who had trouble finding the Lord anymore. Actually, there's a lot of them. There's not really a lot of cases that we find where individuals were saved the first time. Yes, we have stories in which the individuals did find the Lord the first time, and we'll get on to that a little bit later. But I want to encourage those that might be unsaved here tonight to know, just because you did not get saved that day that you sought the Lord, that doesn't mean you cannot get saved. What it means is you're in the same boat with the rest of us that have had problems getting saved. Let me clarify something right quick here. When it came to me being 3 years getting saved, I'll back up and say, Brother Ron, 9 years, him getting saved, and I believe he would say the very same thing that I'm going to say about myself. It wasn't God's fault that it took me 3 years to get saved. It was my fault. It was my doings. It was everything that I did wrong that kept me from being saved. Now, let's go back in the Bible and let's look at individuals who did not get their heart right with God the very first time. Now, some people may disagree with me today, but I want you to look at Abraham. At the time, he was called Abram, was what he was. God called him in the 12th chapter, started calling him out away from his father's land. His father was actually a man that was not worshiping God. He was an idol worshiper, was what he was. And because that he was that idol worshiper, no doubt there was something in Abraham that had a desire to find the real God. Amen. Not an idol that his father was trusting in. He wanted to find the real God. I like to tell this testimony right here at this time. While we was in Florida, there was a young man who got infatuated with one of the girls down at Palm Tree. He saw her at a cattle show, and he started coming to see her. And the thing about it was, he was willing to come to Palm Tree Church just to see her. And the fact of the matter was, after just a little while, we had the Moner's Bench down here in front. And one day, at a restaurant that he was there with us, he come to me and he said, "Why do y'all call that a Moner's Bench? Why do you call it a Moner's Bench?" I said, "Well, it's a place for people to seek the Lord. Old days, people would come down, and because of their broken heart, their contrite spirit, they would cry and moan unto the Lord, and because of that, it got nicknamed a Moner's Bench." I said, "It's an altar. It is a bench for praying." And what really happened was, as time went on, I saw that young man's countenance change from Sunday to Sunday. And to shorten the lesson, the story down, finally during our revival about several months later, all of a sudden he was up on the front bench over here and bowed and praying. And what really happened was, in just a little while, he came up from there praising God for being saved. Matter of fact, his words was, "I don't know why you want to call that a Moner's Bench. It's the best thing I've ever felt." That was his word. That was his testimony there. He was and his brother would set up late at night and discuss things after they had been to their parents' church. And the statement that he made was, surely there's something else other than this.
Amen.
And because of that desire, he wanted to find it, and God made a way through that pretty little girl at Palm Tree Church. That little bit of look that he saw attracted him, but it opened up his heart to where he could hear the truth. Abraham was the same way. God brought him out of his homeland, brought him over into a land that God said, I'm going to give to you and your children, to your descendants. And Abraham followed the Lord in that way. The Lord's going to draw a sinner to him, isn't he? He is going to draw him to a place. Thankfully tonight, you've been brought here maybe by parents, maybe by friends or something like that, but you've been brought into a house where you can hear the truth.
Amen.
Abraham had to be brought out away from his father and the idols and everything else where he could listen to God. You know what Abraham did? Actually, in the 12th chapter it says, and the Lord appeared to him there and told him, he said, you're going to inherit all these things. And the Bible said that Abraham built an altar unto the Lord, and that went on. He left that area. He went on down east of Bethel, and he built up another altar there, and he called on the Lord, and then he left there, and he went on down into Egypt. And while in Egypt, he got into some things he didn't need to get into, but all these things said and done. Later on, he comes back to Bethel once again into that very first altar, and there he prayed again. Now, have you noticed anything about this? It doesn't say anything about him being saved there. And a lot of people says, well, he was saved during all that time. But if you go over to the book of Galatians, it'll tell you his testimony in that it said, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Or rather, it says in Galatians, imputed. But in other places, it says accounted. You will not find that until you get over into the 15th chapter. And it says, and the Lord brought him out into that place, and he showed him these things, and he said, look at the stars that are above you. And he said, your lineage is going to be like this, like all these stars. But he says unto him, or it says about Abraham, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Who counted it to him for righteousness? God did. He was the one that had made the change. You see, there's individuals in the world today who go into church houses. They may say prayers. They may take up the collection. They may sing the songs. They might even lead the songs. They may play the music. But unless the Lord makes the change, they are not saved, is what we know today. The Bible, Jesus doing the speaking in the book of Matthew, said, in that day there'll be many that will come up before me in that day, and they'll say, Lord, Lord, we have done many wonderful works in thy name. And I'm going to skip the list of things that they said, but to get down to the part where the Lord said, I depart from me, I never knew you.
Amen.
You see, that's where Abraham's belief was accounted unto him for righteousness, was when that he believed God. You see, Abraham, I don't believe he got saved the first time that he made that altar. He didn't get saved by leaving his father. It took him several days there, you might say. But he kept going back and trying to make a place where that he could find the Lord. Notice I said he kept trying to find that place.
Right.
Over the years, I've seen individuals that basically they would seek the Lord in the back of the house. Back a few years ago, we had a young man down at Hogan's Creek. We said he was somewhat bashful, and yes, he was. We said that he had a proud part about him, and yes, he did. And actually, he did not want to bow in the church house. And finally, one night, he went out, sat out the door, and his grandfather followed him out along with a few more church members. And on the front porch of the church house, he bowed and he prayed. But he didn't find the Lord. He didn't find the Lord that night. A few weeks later, he tried it again. He would try at home, though. He would try in other places is what he would do. Finally, he broke down one night, and he said, "I'll go to the altar." And he did. He went to the altar, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And he got up mad. I could see it in his face. He got up mad and went back to his seat. And as far as I know, he is not. Yeah, I take that back. He has went back to the altar one more time. And again, he left mad. Why would he get mad? Because he thought just because that he had went down to the altar, he should be saved. You see, God doesn't save you for your work. He doesn't save you just because you make a sacrifice of maybe going down in front of people and seeking the Lord. The Lord doesn't save you for what you are doing. I heard an old preacher say years ago that he was in a meeting at a place, and he said there was a little girl that was on the altar over here, and he said she was sobbing and crying as hard as she could. All of a sudden she jumped up, ran toward that wall, run smack into it, fell back on the floor on her back. Someone said, "What in the world did she do?" He said she thought that if she'd done something like that, the Lord would have to save her. See, the Lord's not going to save you because that you're going to do something to make or even be rewarded for your salvation. You see, what the Lord really wants you to do is just trust Him. He just wants you to believe in Him. And if you don't get saved that first time you call on Him, try again.
Amen.
Try again. You see, what the Lord is looking for is for you to come boldly unto the throne of grace. He's looking for you to come to Him. Now, I realize tonight, this coming in a bold mind sounds like, well, that's pride. That's having some pride about you. But when you come to God, you've got to come with an intention.
Amen.
An intention. What do you mean intention? You ever intended to do something? Brother Tuck, I'm going to pick on you a minute. You said you didn't call Brother Mark because you didn't have a round to it. You hadn't got around to it. You ever seen somebody bring up that round circle and it in the middle of it? That's a round to it. That's the way a lot of sinners are. You just haven't gotten around to trusting the Lord. That's my problem. That was my problem. I hadn't got around to really trusting in the Lord. You know what God wants you to do? Is come to Him boldly. Let me give you something here. Sounds like it's a little bit off the mark a little bit. You know Moses, he was a man of God. The Bible called him the friend of God. He talked to God face to face.
Amen.
You know one of the other distinctions about Moses was? Moses got to see part of God. And I tend to believe it was somewhat physically is what the Bible said. No, in the 33rd chapter of Exodus, Moses did come boldly unto the Lord. And he said, "Lord, just let me see You." Let me see. He said, let me know what your intentions is for me. But he said, let me see you. And God said, I will. Why did God say to Moses, I will let you see me, but you can't look on my face? That's what he said. Why did God allow him to see? Because he asked. He asked him. He said, Lord, I want to see you, Lord. Can I just see you? Can I see your intentions for me and this people? Can I see them? And God said, yeah, I'm going to let you see all the things that you want to see. The intentions I have for these children of Israel. I want you to see those things that I've got in store for them. I want you to see what you are going to see. I want you to know these things. You know what the Bible says when it talks about asking? He said, you have not because you ask not.
Amen.
Usually, we talk about that as far as us as saved individuals. But it goes for those that are sinners also. You don't have salvation because you ask not.
Right.
Oh, wait a minute, preacher. I did. I was down there and I asked the Lord to save me. I promised Him, Lord, if you'll just save me, I'll do anything for Him. And Lord, I said, Lord, if you'll just save me, I'll be the best child of God that ever was. Lord, I told you I'd do this. Lord, I asked you to save. Lord, I asked you to have mercy on me. Lord, I asked. How many of us did that before we actually got saved? Why didn't we get saved? Simple. We was trying to get there by another method. What does the scripture say? Is you have not because you ask not. And if you ask, did you ask amiss? Were you really asking for the right reason? Well, I thought it was. Oh, I did too. I thought that when I was seeking the Lord, I thought I was doing every possible thing I could. I thought I was really believing until I really believed. And then that was when the change came. You see, God wants to be asked of you to be saved. He wants you to want it more than anything else. He wants you to desire it. Now, when I talk about it more than anything else, and you are saying within yourself, it didn't do any good. It didn't do any good for me. What's the use? Does that not say you really don't want it? Ask yourself that. Do you really, really want to be saved? You got to want
Amen.
More than you want anything else. The Bible, Jesus doing the speaking, and I believe this is in the book of Matthew, where he said, except ye hate. Hate's a strong word, isn't it? The word, actual word means regard less. It doesn't mean that you're hating these things, but the way it's interpreted into our English language is, except you hate father, mother, houses, land. Well, I don't hate my mom and daddy. I don't want to hate them. Remember, I said, it's regardless. In other words, you guys want God more than them. You got to want God more than a car. You got to want God more than whatever you got. You got to want God more than anything else. And oh yeah, there's another part to that verse. And yea, even your own life.
Amen.
That's the last part of that verse where he said, you've got to hate those things. Regardless, you've got to regard your life less than salvation. That desire of that salvation has got to be more than even your own life. More than even your own life. I can't say that I prayed this kind of prayer, but I've heard so many people over the years make this statement. Lord, if it takes my life, just save me and let me die. But just save me. And they meant it. God didn't take their life. They told me about it, didn't they? They're still kicking. We'll say it that way. They're still living. But they wanted it more than they wanted their own life. Why would you wait? Why would you wait another day to be saved? Why would you say that it doesn't do any good if you haven't tried? Hey folks, how many of us, our parents told us, you got to try a bite of that food right there on the table? Them turnip greens. Why did I have to pick them? Mom, why'd you pick them? Mom, why'd you pick that? I gotta try that. That stuff's nasty. How many times did you do that? You took that bite and it was good. For every one of us that were saved, there was a time we had to try it.
Amen.
One time. One time's all it takes when you really and truly try it. I get tickled at my granddaughter sometimes. Christy and Luke will tell them they've got to try it. And she'll get it in her mouth and she just really won't even try to taste it. She'll have it in her mouth crying and squalling and everything. She'll never even really taste it. It's because she's made up her mind. No, I'm not going to do that. So many sinners today have made up their mind. They're not going to God. Oh, preacher, I didn't do that. When you said it didn't do any good, when you said I'm not going to try again, when you said something to that effect, did you not say that? As long as you keep that attitude, it's not going to do any good.
Right.
Remember what I said about Moses? The reason why he got to see God was because he asked the Lord. He asked the Lord, can I see? Now that's what I want you to want tonight. I want you to want to see the Lord.
Yes.
I'm going to one of these days. Every one of these people that held their hand up saying that they were saved, whether it was the first time, the second time, 5 or 6 times, 20, 10, 9 years afterwards, that they finally got saved, they wanted it. They tried it. And they got it. And so can you. Mm-hmm. Brother Coleman, let's have a song.
I'll say to you tonight, why don't you try the Lord one more time?
Amen.
Why don't you try Him tonight? And this time, don't just, I hate to use this word, but truthfully it's the truth, casually try Him. You know what I did the first time I went to the altar?
I'll show you. I got on the altar, and I'll show you where I was at. I was all the way down here to this end. I sat down on the altar like this right here. I took me a handkerchief like this right here, and I covered my face. And if you look, I had my eyes open down here. I didn't even have glasses on. Somebody come around, I looked at their shoes, and I said, whose feet is that?
At church, if I didn't know who he was, I'd look around church. Oh, that's who that was. I was more worried about who was talking and who was around me than I was about being saved. Tonight, you've got to try the Lord.
That's right.
And that's what I want to give you the opportunity to do tonight, is try the Lord.
255. 255.